Last Sunday, I missed you. I was off wrapping up study week, and thank you so much for that annual week away. I know many of you already told me and reminded me you were praying for me on my annual study week, and I appreciate that. God really had a great time, just a great time with the Lord and His Word and prayer and studying and preparation, and look forward to messages coming up, and even into 2019. I'll just give you an idea. As I was praying and preparing messages, the Lord reminded me in 2019, we will have been at this new location 15 years. So we're going to open the new year of 2019 with a short message series that brings us some perspective on those last 15 years, where we've been and where we're going, from the book of Habakkuk. So I know that Habakkuk is in your everyday reading, isn't it? That's just right up front. Just give you a taste of some things coming up there as well. So thank you for that time away. Annually, it is a blessing. Thank you so much for giving to the Gideons and blessing people around the world by your offering. You're blessing people through the Gideons. You're blessing people with the Word of God. And thank you for that so much. Remember to stay this morning for our business meeting. As I announced earlier in the service, I just want to repeat that we will be considering the nominating committee report in a called conference following our worship hour. And then I would like for you to stay a few more minutes. I need to talk with you just about a couple of things that are on my heart and bring you up to date on a couple of things. So I want to especially encourage our members to stay. Jerome's will wait. Okay, so you just hang back a little bit longer after we close out our business meeting. I just want to talk with you a few minutes. And if you're a guest this morning, or maybe this is your first time at First Baptist Church, been coming a while, either way, you're not a member, you're welcome to stay. But also, as I said earlier, when we make that transition to the business meeting, if you'd like to slip out, feel free to do that as well. Not long ago, I went to a movie. Before the movie was ending, it was Ant-Man and the Wasp. And some of you were there, went with you guys. I know all the guys, the superhero fans. So we go to the movie, and when the movie was getting to the big finish, I had my phone in my pocket on silent, just on vibrate, and I got a message. And when I looked at it, I realized something I had to deal with right then. So I slipped out of the theater to take care of it. It's not something that I could do right there, let alone it being appropriate. You know, like people on their cell phone in the middle of a movie, right? So I slipped out to take care of it. By the time I took care of that particular item, the movie had wrapped up. And so what do you think I did? The very next morning, I got in touch with Brother Gary. I said, what happened? Because I didn't get to see the finish of the movie. Have you ever had that happen? You missed the end of the story. And you really want to know how it ends. But have you ever missed the beginning of a story? Maybe it's a story you're very familiar with the ending of it, and you've seen the ending many times. That happens a lot with television movies. You turn it on and you come into the same part of the movie every time, or the same part of the show every time. I know how this ends. I've just never seen the beginning. And sometimes it's hard to appreciate the end if you've never seen the beginning. This morning, when we return to our series on the life of Moses and the call of Moses and how God reveals purpose in the life of Moses, we're going to return to the beginning of the story of what the end of the story we will celebrate in just a few minutes, the Lord's Supper. So you might be familiar with the Lord's Supper. You might be familiar with celebrating the Lord's Supper. Maybe you're a believer and you've been doing that for a long time in this church or another church. So you're familiar with the Lord's Supper, but it never occurred to you what you are familiar with is the end of the story of what the Bible calls the Passover. So this morning, we're going to return to the beginning of that story of the Passover and see how the celebration of the Lord's Supper reflects the very beginning. So we connect those two things together. If you have your Bible with you, find again with me the book of Exodus, and this time chapter 12, Exodus chapter 12. We're fast-forwarding in the story of Moses this morning. So I want to bring you up to date of where we're going to drop into the story quite a bit forward, as a matter of fact. Because if you're familiar with the story of the Exodus, you know that Pharaoh continues to refuse to release God's people from bondage in Egypt. And each time he refuses, God begins to impose plagues on Egypt. The purpose of these plagues is to demonstrate the power of God and the weakness of Pharaoh and the Egyptian gods. We're not going to walk through all of those plagues, but there were 9 of those plagues leading up to the 10th one. And it's the 10th plague that we are interested in this morning. In the 10th plague, as you'll see in a moment, God says that he is going to come upon Egypt in his wrath. And in this last plague on Egypt, God is going to take the life of every firstborn male in Egypt. And then God tells his people how to avoid the wrath of God. So look there with me this morning, Exodus chapter 12. We are going to start reading at verse 3, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3. The Bible says, as God is speaking, God says, "Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, they must each select an animal of the flock according to their father's families, one animal per family. If the household is too small for a whole animal, that person and the neighbor nearest his house are to select one based on the combined number of people. You should apportion the animal according to what each one will eat. You must have an unblemished animal, a year-old male. You may take it from either the sheep or the goats, and you are to keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel will slaughter the animals at twilight. They must take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and the lintel of the houses where they eat them. They are to eat the meat at night. They should eat it roasted over the fire along with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or cooked in boiling water, but only roasted over a fire, its head as well as its legs and its inner organs or parts. You must not leave any of it until morning. Any part of it left until morning you must burn. Here is how you will eat it. You must be dressed for travel, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You are to eat it in a hurry. Now listen, it is the Lord's Passover. I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and strike every firstborn male in the land of Egypt, both people and animals. I am the Lord. I will execute judgments against all the gods of Egypt. The blood on the houses where you are staying will be a distinguishing mark for you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague will be among you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day is to be a memorial for you, and you must celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. You are to celebrate it through your generations as a permanent statute. You must eat unleavened bread for 7 days. On the first day, you must remove yeast from your houses. Whoever eats what is leavened from the first day through the seventh will be cut off from Israel." It's helpful if we remember that the Exodus from Egypt is God's first grand intervention to redeem, save, and set free his people. It's the time in which the people of God learn that God is their Redeemer. He will come to them in their enslavement, and he will set them free. He will lead them out to a new home, a new land, a new life, if they will follow him. It's clearly a reflection of what happens for us and to us in our relationship with Jesus Christ. That when we trust Christ as our Savior, the Bible says we are set free from sin and from death, and we receive eternal life. God leads us out of bondage to sin and death. He brings us to a new place, a new home with him. He brings us to life eternal because of Jesus Christ. God reveals his purposes in Christ in the Passover. That's right. God reveals his purposes for redemption in Jesus Christ in this first Passover. Then as we prepare to celebrate the Passover together, I want us to consider 3 ways that God reveals his purposes in the Passover this morning and how that is reflected and finalized and fulfilled in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. First, God reveals his purposes in the sacrifice itself. The key to the entire Passover event is the sacrifice. And you notice as we began reading how strategic and how specific these instructions are of God, including the sacrifice, which God says the first time around may be a goat or a lamb. Later, it's only a lamb. And God says you must take this unblemished animal, this spotless, clean, unblemished animal, and you sacrifice that animal, that lamb. For generations, the Jewish people would celebrate the Passover and the Day of Atonement, the Day of Forgiveness, by sacrificing an animal to God. And the Bible teaches that that sacrifice was absolutely and forever fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That his death on the cross was the last perfect sacrifice for all humanity. And there's no reason for another. See, the Bible teaches that blood must be shed for forgiveness of sin. So each time blood was shed, God accepted that for what the Bible calls the remission or the forgiveness of the sin of the people. But you couldn't keep doing that and doing that and doing that over and over and over again. You needed a final sacrifice, a final payment for our sin. And that's what God gave us in Jesus Christ. That's why John the Baptist, when he first sees Jesus, he gets his disciples, he gets their attention, and he points to Jesus and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God was no longer slain just to take away the sin of a few people or a household of people, but he was slain once for all for the whole world and for anyone who would acknowledge that he is the Lamb of God sacrificed on the cross for their sins. So first, God reveals his purpose in the sacrifice and Passover. The Lamb itself would be fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Secondly, God reveals his purposes in the symbols of the Passover. Symbols are powerful things. And God likes us to use symbols to remember who he is and what he has done for us. So in this story, in the Passover, God gives us two key symbols that we, in fact, will still see today are powerful symbols for the people of God in understanding what God has done for us on the cross with Jesus Christ. The first symbol is the blood itself, the blood of the Lamb that was slain and the blood that was shed. And God said, "I am going to come upon Egypt, and in my wrath, I am going to take the life of every firstborn male, animal and human, in all of Egypt." That's the judgment of God coming upon Egypt. And notice, God does not say, "Because you are good people, because I like you, I will spare you and your children." That's not what he says. He says, "To be spared for me to pass over your homes, here's what you need to do. You need a substitution of blood, a sacrifice. And when you sacrifice that lamb, you take that lamb's blood and you paint your doorposts with that blood. And when I come into Egypt," or the angel of the Lord comes into Egypt and sees that blood, "he will pass over that household and move on to the next one." That's very clear. The blood of the lamb is intended to be protection. It is a picture of God's powerful grace received in Jesus Christ when we receive his sacrifice as our own. See, in order to paint the doorpost with the blood, the people had to accept the power of the blood. They had to accept the power of the symbol and what God was telling them was true. They had to trust God that the blood, in fact, would save their lives. And if they would do as God says, and they would huddle under the blood painted on the doorposts in that home, they would be saved. It's not hard to see the picture, is it? It's the blood of Jesus Christ, now shed only once, a final and perfect sacrifice. But it's the blood of Christ for all who accept his sacrifice for themselves. That blood is what saves us and forgives us of our sin. Notice how that symbol has changed just a bit over time. The first time, it was the actual blood of the Lamb painted on the doorposts, which led us to understand it foreshadowed the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. And when we huddle and hide in the blood of Christ, we are saved and cleansed and forgiven of our sins. And the wrath of God moves on, because the Bible says the wrath of God is already on those who do not trust Christ. But when we accept his sacrifice as our own, when we acknowledge the blood of Christ, now the blood is not just a symbol, it's the actual blood of Christ shed for us. God himself has died for us. So we're not slaying animals to remember this. Instead, Jesus said, let me give you the symbol in a cup. And when you drink this cup, the cup of the Passover, you remember that I've shed my blood for you. The second symbol is unleavened bread. I would take a show of hands of how many people know what unleavened bread is, but no one would raise their hands. Unleavened bread is, to us in the 21st century, bread without yeast. Leaven in bread helped it rise. But in our minds, when we think about yeast in dough, we think about it being packed into the dough and maybe put in an oven, and the bread beautifully and nicely rises in the oven. That's not what happened in the ancient world. In the ancient world, they took this stuff called leaven, and they packed it into the dough, and they spread it out, and they put it outside in the elements. And it took time. It took time for that bread to rise outside in the elements. And the chemical response, what was actually happening in that dough, was that the leaven was decaying. Leaven was not lovely yeast or something you bought at the grocery store. Leaven was a decaying product. It tainted the bread. It actually corrupted the bread. But in its corruption and in the heat of the sun and in its decay, as it decayed, it expanded. And by expanded, it made the bread rise in the heat of the sun. But every time the Jewish people ate bread with leaven, they were eating leaven. They were eating bread that had been corrupted by leaven in a very literal way. Now pay attention to this. So God says, for the first time at the Passover, he gives an image that will remain the image throughout the New Testament. Jesus even talks about this as an image, as a symbol of corruption. Leaven became a symbol of corruption and decay in our lives and in our religion. So God says, I want you to symbolize purity. In every respect, the lamb that is slain symbolizes purity. That lamb is unblemished and spotless. And I want you to symbolize your own purity and your desire to be pure before God without decay, without corruption, by eating unleavened bread. What we know as the Passover is a mark on the calendar, but what actually happens at the Jewish Passover is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Because unleavened bread, bread without leaven, forever symbolizes purity. A life without decay, a life without corruption, a religion that's pure as God intends it to be. It's unleavened as God desires. When Jesus held up the bread at the Last Supper with his disciples, he said, "This is my body." Now when you do this in remembrance of me. I have given my perfect, unblemished, uncorrupted, sinless life for you. That's the symbol. When you take that cup, it symbolizes that blood Christ shed for you. When you take that little piece of bread, you remember it's a symbol of the pure nature of the Son of God who did what you could not do for yourself, what I could not do for myself. In our sin, corrupted before God, the sinless sacrifice of God went to the cross for you, uncorrupted, with no decay. And he said, you always remember, I took your place. I did for you what you could not do for yourself. So in the Passover, God reveals his purpose of redemption by the sacrifice and by the symbols. And then last, God reveals his purpose at the Passover by the celebration. By the celebration. Notice how God closes out his speech through Moses. He says, you are to always do this. This is a memorial now for you and for all of God's people. It's a celebration for you and for all of God's people. In verse 3 that we read, God starts off by saying, the whole community is to do this. And then he begins to explain the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This was the first time that God, through Moses, spoke to God's people to gather them in corporate worship as a people and refer to them as a community, a congregation. Now they were moving from individuals to a people, a congregation, who would gather and celebrate together one thing that God did for all of them. The one thing that they have in common, the one thing that they must always remember, that God spared them and spared them to set them free, that God forgave them, that God redeemed them, that God brought them out to their own home, to their own land, to be his people. This morning when you receive the bread and the cup, remember, Jesus said, now do this in remembrance of me. God had said, do it in remembrance of the Passover in Egypt. Jesus says, it's fulfilled in me. Now when you do it, it's a memorial to the cross. It's a memorial to what Christ has done for you. When you do it now, you celebrate Jesus Christ. And you remember what he's done for you. And we do it as the people of God because we're all saved the same way. We all desperately need to be set free in Christ, and if we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we know that he's done that for us by his blood, by his promise, by his sacrifice. He's done that for us. If you're new to the Baptist church, you might be, we call the Lord's Supper an ordinance, not a sacrament. Did you know that? We call it an ordinance. A sacrament, it's believed in religions, is something that gives you grace. It mediates grace. We don't believe that the Lord's Supper does that. Jesus alone gives you grace. An ordinance celebrates that. An ordinance is actually a symbolic preaching of the gospel. It's remembering again that Christ died on the cross for you. And when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you celebrate today with everyone else who's ever done that. The grace of God in Jesus Christ, his pure, perfect sacrifice, died for you. And when you trusted him and accepted that sacrifice, that blood for you, you were saved. You were saved. I said earlier, if you're a believer, but you're not a member at First Baptist Church, but you know you're a Christian, you've trusted Christ, celebrate the Lord's Supper with us. It's for the body of Christ. But if you're in here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, or you're just not sure, I'm going to ask you to have the courage to let the bread and the cup go by. And it should be clear why. Because how can you celebrate something you've never done? Christ did it for you, but you haven't accepted it. So let that bread and that cup go by. And then at the end of the hour, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to Christ. I'm going to give you an opportunity to trust Jesus as your Savior. So that the next time the body of Christ shows up and celebrates the Lord's Supper and what he's done for us, that'll be your celebration as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we gather in this place, God, how we praise you of the reminder of what Christ has done for us, that he has fulfilled all things. And in going to the cross, he was the perfect sacrifice, Father, the perfect sacrifice. As we take this bread and this cup this morning, God, we celebrate what Christ has done for us on the cross. And God, how I pray you would speak to each person here, Father, that you would show us, God, if there's anything in our lives you want to change, anything, God, that needs to be cleansed, anything you want to hold us accountable for today, that we would ask for your forgiveness. And if there's just one in here who's never trusted Christ as their Savior, and they know it, I pray, God, they'd have the courage to let that bread go by, let that cup go by, but before the hour's up, that they put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.